Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
Hi, I'm Scarlett Clegg.
Hi, I'm Alex Cowley.
Hi, I'm Riona Zaman.
You are some of the members of this year's Youth Tynwald Select Committee. So, Scarlett, I'll start with you. This is your first time on the committee. So what made you want to be part of it this year?
Well, I've just returned to the island after completing my undergraduate. And I saw all of the press last year about the other two and the rest of the committee on how interesting it was with their housing inquiry last year. And it looked like something really interesting to get involved with, especially just bringing young people into politics. So as soon as when I was at university, I looked at applying, and then as soon as I came back, we started with the new committee.
So what were you studying? And then I suppose what brought you back as well?
So I did law and criminology at university. So I actually do have a training contract in the UK for a couple of years' time, but I decided to come back for the interim because there's a lot of opportunity for law over here. So I thought I'd gain some experience, because it's always been in my long-term plan to come back to the island eventually after getting some experience across. So it's been nice to start to gain some connections over here and get some insight into law on the island.
And Alex, if I come to you, and actually both of you, actually, because you were both on the committee last year. So what brought you both back?
I really enjoyed being part of the committee last year and just having the opportunity to raise your concerns, speak to politicians about these and address them. But this year, I kind of had the topic of education in mind, because obviously I'm going through like the university process now and like post 18 opportunities. And so this year that's kind of something I wanted to address.
Well, I quite enjoyed it last year, because not only did it help me with my skills for the future, because I also want to study law, it also gave me a chance to be involved with the Isle of Man's politics. And Alex was a chair last year and she did it so well that she actually inspired me to try for the chair this year. So yeah, it's just a good way to gain some experience.
Which is amazing. And from the work that you did last year, and last year was on housing was the main focus, how much do you feel like the politicians here listened to the concerns that you raised and took some of your feedback on board?
Well, I feel like when we'd have certain inquiries and stuff, they were quite helpful with that. But I do think that it's good that they do listen to us, because, again, we are the next generation. So I feel like it'll help with that in the future.
Yeah, Alex, you feel the same?
Yeah, and our report's due to be debated in Tynwald later on in the year. And when we were carrying out all of the research last year, we did have many politicians take interest and come up to speak to us. Even if we just saw them, like in public, they'd speak to us on this. And when we did our other interviews, the feedback we'd received, a lot of people did feel the same.
So this year the focus is support in life after education on the Isle of Man. So I suppose, Scarlett, you're probably in quite a good position really to have some actual experience of your own in this. So I suppose, have you had any support since coming back to the island?
I think that when you go looking for it, there is a lot of opportunity for graduates. There's a lot of jobs in finance, because obviously the Isle of Man is such a big economic and financial epicentre. But we're going to try and have a look at opportunities for a range of different careers. So obviously at Sona, I've got a couple of friends who have gone into the financial industry and they do seem well supported.
You make a good point though, because the island, I think, is renowned for its financial centre and for the opportunities available there. But I think a lot of people think that's where the Isle of Man's opportunities end, don't they? And so you're hoping to be able to find out how much more there is.
Yeah, so obviously finance is such a big career on the Isle of Man, but I guess we're going to have a look at as well what the career pipelines look like for some emerging industries as well. Obviously a lot of tech's coming up, but even just we're looking at a broad range of careers, I think, and I think it'll be interesting to see what support people get depending on what sort of industry they want to go into professionally.
Yeah. And for you, Alex and Riona, as well, so when you're looking ahead at the moment, you're applying for universities, but are both of you looking to come back here once you've finished your studies? And if so, what kind of support would you like to see?
Well, I mean, for me personally, I'm going to be doing nursing in September, so I'm going to stay here for my nursing degree. But I'm hoping to upskill afterwards and do a medicine degree after my nursing. But I know for a lot of my friends and my peers, they almost feel as if they're not being fully supported by the government in the university process, and so that's kind of deterring them from going away to uni. And I know another one of our members, David Cowan, he's not here at the minute, but he actually studied his degree on Ireland but through a UK university, and he received no support through that. And so there's kind of a gap for if you do want to study a degree over here, because they don't offer it at UCM, but you do it through UK university, you don't actually receive support through that.
Which is something that probably people don't necessarily realise until you are actually in that situation. And particularly when you compare the sort of support that you get if you are an English student going to an English university, if we're looking across the water, there's an awful lot of support that you get. Whereas here, it is a bit more isolated. Has that been your experience, Fiona?
Well, for me personally, because I want to go study law with criminology at university, I don't think I'll be coming back to the Isle of Man until maybe I've had a few years of experience there, because I feel like I'd rather go to the UK and get more experience there so I can apply that here. Because I feel like if I came back to the Isle of Man straight away, I would be missing out on a lot of opportunities compared to the UK. But especially here for work experience, even before going to university, it's quite difficult. It's more like if you know someone who knows someone, then you're more likely. So that's also another area that we're trying to work upon, which is work experience for all different types of jobs.
And yeah, especially for work experience, because there used to be a programme where you could do work experience through school. But for my year and a couple of years before and after, there hasn't been the work experience programme. And especially for healthcare, it's quite difficult to get work experience. I was struggling to get work experience at the hospital for over a year, and so I had to go away to do my work experience in the UK, because for health degrees that you really do need to have the work experience. I know there's a lot for finance, like Scott was saying, and for law, but there's some careers where it's just missing. It's the same with like performing arts, and all the funding for that, there's just hardly any, and so it kind of limits your opportunity in that sense.
And you're talking about your experience within healthcare there, and particularly when we're at a time when staffing levels, there's a global shortage of nurses, of midwives, of all of these kind of career paths. And actually, we have things in place here on the island for students, but not necessarily things in place to help them become students, would you say then?
Yeah, I definitely agree. And it kind of is a bit ironic, because it goes against the Island Plan in the sense the Island Plan talks about being able to like re-upskill, and for healthcare professionals, say we have nurses over here, for them to be able to re-upskill to become a doctor or to go into a different healthcare provision, the funding will only allow you for one degree. It's 5 years maximum. So say you do your nursing and then you want to do medicine, like my situation, it means you pretty much have to self-fund the medicine. So it's preventing you from re-upskilling. And that's with many degrees. Say you do an initial degree and you want to re-upskill, say in the same field, the funding kind of limits that opportunity.
So Scarlett, I suppose there's a lot for the committee to be considering. So how can some of your peers in your age group on the island help you to come up with your findings for politicians here?
So we've recently released our call for evidence. So for anyone that's got any experience in the subjects that we're going to be touching on within our inquiry, we're kind of asking members of the public who have experience in this to contact us and find our email through our website, and just submit any evidence that you think you want the politicians to hear, and we can help you scrutinise what the politicians say about it.
And I suppose this is probably quite a broad question for all of you, really, but there is, I think, arguably a political apathy and a disengagement with politics in the younger generations, not just here on the island, I think globally. And how is that something that we can tackle as an island, and how is that something that we can try and get people to be more engaged in politics?
Well, I think the simple answer is just by politicians actually speaking to and listening to younger people. I mean, many experiences I've encountered, when we were undertaking our oral evidence last year, we were speaking to some ministers about how they'd gone about speaking to people our age to do with housing, and they'd admitted it's something that they hadn't thought of before. Like, they hadn't spoken to the young people, so it's quite hard for them to gauge an idea of what they believe we'd want. And even on, like, a local authority level, if you speak to them, they haven't really considered the view of a young person. I think it's so easy to miss out on that view, especially when the demographic in politics is an older generation than us. And so by simply speaking to us and listening, it's such an easy way to engage. And the more young people that engage in politics, is the more likely that other people will also want to be involved.
And that's something that we hear a lot as well, even just in terms of the number of students that we speak to who have never seen a politician in their school, have never had a politician coming and talking to them at an event or anything like that. They are just not visible to the younger community. And is that something that you think could absolutely be improved upon then?
Yeah, I feel like if that is improved upon, more younger people will start to do the same too. Because on one hand, yes, politicians need to engage more with the younger people, but the younger people need to be more aware. So if more younger people start voting, the more politicians will listen to younger people of their demographic that's voting for them. So it's a bit 50-50, but committees like this that actually get young people involved are starting to get more young people in politics, so we are improving, I think.
Just to agree with what Riona said, I think that if you're passionate about something going on in your local community, then just because you're young doesn't mean that you can't reach out to your MHK, you can't reach out to your commissioners. So just having the incentive to do that, you don't think that you're making a difference, but it is likely if your thoughts are heard by them, then you're going to have more chance of making a difference.
And we've just had our local authority elections, and we've got a 19-year-old commissioner now in Onchan, who's one of the youngest ever, I think. So it shows that your voice can absolutely still be heard, no matter what your age.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think our topic and the Youth Select Committee in general is so important, because I know one of the politicians on Ireland and somebody who obviously advocates, Paul Keynes, highlighted many times about demographic issues that we have and that how we're having the lowest birth rate that we've had in 100 years. And obviously with our generation now, the demographic, we've already got an ageing population. There's already a lower proportion of economically active people over here. And so this is only going to get worse if we can't retain the people who are currently a part of the economically active population. And so that's why we need to look at not just ways we can encourage people to take their skills back to the island financially, but also more social things. I'm not talking about necessarily like drinking or the night scene, but just engaging the younger community in more social events, activities, maybe implementations of more libraries or study spaces, because especially in Castletown, there's such a lack of things to do. So.
And looking at some of the plans that the politicians already have in place, things like the Ireland Plan, the economic strategy, all of these kind of things, all of them are quite long-term goals, wanting to improve those learning opportunities here on the island and also to be able to make it a more attractive place. And do you think so far that they have been successful in that?
I think we're yet to see the outcome of the economic strategy and the island plan, because obviously they are so new, but we're really hoping that our investigation offers insight to give to the ministers, to give to the politicians, some insight into how crucial it is to support young people with regard to the island plan and the economic strategy, just for the overall success of the island and bringing those skills back, like Alex was saying before.
Obviously, here on the Isle of Man, we are limited in our educational resources. You have school, but once you've left school, there's UCM. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think many people would want to stay here to study a degree on Ireland for the financial reasons, the fact that they're still with their family, and because as an island, we're such a close-knit community, for people to still be able to stay with their peers, that's a very desirable thing in itself. But I feel as if they're not, UCM and the government aren't really doing a lot to try and encourage people to go to UCM. Like, they're stopping the nunnery from being a place used for the degree. And so people feel as if they're still integrating with a lot of the younger people, even though they're 18. And there's many things that are missing that people would get if they went to university away. Like, at UCM, they did used to have student union, so you still had that feel as if you were going to university across, but they don't have any student unions anymore. And another committee member says the only club that they have really for undergraduates is a knitting club. And so there's definitely more room for expansion and expansion in degrees that they offer.
As Alex touched on, a lot of people do want to stay on island while they do their degrees, but there's only literally a few that you can do. So we are looking to expand on that, as well as university alternatives, because we feel as if there's only two choices, which is stay on the Isle of Man and go to college or go to university, but there's no in-between or variety between that. So that's also another subject that we're looking at.
Absolutely, and which is just as important, because sometimes you can learn just as much by going straight into the workplace on an apprenticeship, on any kind of sort of lower level position, than you could if you went to university first.
Yeah, especially schemes like Earn While You Learn. That's a new incentive, because when people go to university, some people are, oh, I really need to start earning money, but also if I do go to university and I get a better degree, then I'll earn more money. But I feel if places started doing more schemes that you earn while you learn, we would have a higher rate of people doing that.
A lot of that is to do with trying to create a bit of incentives, not just for the students, but also for the companies, trying to see why the companies don't really want to take part, or why they haven't looked into the venture of doing internships. Because although, as we say, finance is such a big thing over here, there's still only a limited amount of companies that opt to do internships for finance over here. So looking at why that is the case.
Yeah, and the same with apprenticeships as well. I think that an apprenticeship is such a good alternative to university. So we're going to really explore why they aren't as prevalent as they could be, and if there's any reasons that stop companies from offering them also.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.